Hey, Marvel Maniacs, welcome to another exciting episode of Guardians of the MCU. This is episode number 179. Some of you may have just hit stop on episode 178, and you're now here with us on 179, because that is, one, the magic of technology, and two, it is what we promised, because we have a big episode here, really exciting stuff. We got the teaser trailer, the very first thing for Spider-Man No Way Home. Before we jump into that, as a reminder, Guardians of the MCU is part of the Random Chatter Network. Please do check us out at randomchatter.com for stuff, all the stuff you guys know. We are recording this on August 24th. This trailer just came out. So, John, I'm going to kick this over to you, and please walk us through this whole thing.
So, first of all, it came out yesterday, mm-hmm. from what I gather. I didn't know about it till the morning, so I was like, what rock have I been under?
I watched it last night before going to bed.
Fair. I had a few things going on last night, so maybe that's why I missed it. Very pleasant morning surprise, though. So, first thoughts, Tim. What'd you think?
You know, I obviously I'm really excited about it. This is something that that fans / the internet has been waiting for 2 or 3 months. Like, people have been constantly saying, like, hey, when are we going to get something on this? This is cool. I was really wondering how they were going to set up the story. This teaser gave it to us. Silver platter story. Here you go. Gave us the setup.
Very different from what we just talked about with the Eternals, where we were getting them. We're like, okay, yeah, but what is this about?
Yes.
This, I loved it, but I'm almost like, did you give us too much? I feel like we know a lot of the story, more so than we already did, which is fine, but a lot of times it's that delicate balance between being the teaser to draw you in, which I feel like the last Eternal one did, versus we're giving you all the plot and the funny lines because we really want you to come see the movie.
Think about this, though. How much of this movie did we already know in terms of the premise?
It is true. The biggest things, and we'll kind of talk through them, is how much Doctor Strange had a role in this.
Yeah.
And then kind of one surprise that was rumored that we may be getting a little bit more on. And we'll kind of talk through that. Mm-hmm. So let's jump into it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we see a bunch, you know, the recall from Far From Home. And we see a lot of Peter and MJ, them swinging through J. Jonah Jameson, talking about how Peter is enemy number one. Mm-hmm. They're reading the Daily Bugle. And it's kind of setting up for, you know, what Peter's life is. And it does kind of jump around. And we see him in school and everyone's filming him. How he goes back to school, I have no idea. You know, he's trying to do the Spider-Man thing and everyone's kind of coming up to him and making it hard for him to kind of swing away. So it's definitely showing what and how much of an impact this is on his life.
Yeah. And not only it's his personal life, it is school, it is even his ability simply to be Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And really, from the other Sam Raimi stuff that we had, you know, we saw the consequences of Green Goblin learning what Spider-Man's identity was, because then he went after Aunt May, not Hot Aunt May. We have Hot Aunt May in this one. But, you know, he went after Aunt May, went after folks so that, you know, meant something to him. So obviously that endangers heroes. Mm-hmm. And that's always kind of been this thing in the comics of what heroes' identities are known versus what ones aren't. And when they are known, you know, what are the impacts of that?
And we see some of those impacts with him being investigated. And Tim, you had damage control. I didn't catch that, but that's who it was. To me, they look like government.
Well,
police, law enforcement, but I missed if they had that symbol or.
Yeah. So they have, and it's one of those like blacked out patches on the guy's arm, and it's damage control. It's what was it? DC.
Incorporated or DC?
No, damage control is a government agency.
Okay.
So like department, DODC, Department of Damage Control. I can't remember exactly what the acronym is, but yeah, so it was a damage control agent who is questioning Peter. So I think it's cool that they brought damage control back. This wasn't just a one-off that we saw, you know, two Spider-Man mm-hmm. movies ago. They are persisting. I'm interested to see what else they do with them or if they're just simply mm-hmm. a convenient plot point, whatever. But yeah. So Peter's getting questioned by federal agents.
Yeah. And I mean, obviously, no lawyer. Where's Matt Murdock? Mm. Hey, come on.
That's what the internet wants to know. That is probably the biggest question that has come out of this entire teaser is, you know, Peter's being questioned by a federal agent. He has the right to an attorney. Where is Matt?
Yeah. you know, or Jennifer or any lawyer who may be involved in the MCU. So we finally just see, you know, Peter decides he's going to take it into his own hands. And he shows up at the New York Sanctum. Which is very cool until he goes inside and it's snowing and winter in the Sanctum.
Yeah, what's up with that?
Did a portal
to Tibet open up and go crazy?
Well, you know, and then Peter asks, you know, Strange to help him. And the interaction between the two of them, when he calls him, you know, Dr. Strange, and he's like, Peter, we saved half the known universe, you know, together. It's a bit much for formalities or something else like that. And he's like, okay, Stephen. And Strange is like, that's also weird. You know, and then we see Wong, who's like, don't do this. And then like he opens his own portal with his suitcases, I'm assuming to go fight in the Shang-Chi tournament. I don't know. But he's with some bags.
That's right. Yeah, that's a connection that could be made.
He pieces out. Strange gives him the wink of like, yeah, of course I'm going to help you.
Mm-hmm.
So then we see Strange casting the spell, and Peter, to me, this was very reminiscent of the One More Day comic, where after Civil War, Peter finds a way to save Aunt May and have everyone forget he was Spider-Man. And it's a deal through Mephisto. And as he's going through and realizing what that means, what everything it means that he'd be giving up, mm-hmm. he begins to have doubt. And it's very similar when Strange is casting the spell and he realizes that, hey, that means everything he has with MJ is going to go away. He's going to have to start lying to his best friend, Ned, again. His aunt's not going to remember. And he starts to have doubt and asking questions, and that starts to interfere with the spell, and that's where our hijinks ensue.
Yeah, so I mean, we get this, you know, we know that when Doctor Strange does magic, we get this physical representation of the magic, these, you know, glowy rings and other mm-hmm. things. And so we have that going on in whatever room that Strange is casting this thing, and Peter like steps inside that ring. And he starts saying these things about like, well, but yeah, you know, MJ and then Ned and Aunt May and Strange tells him like, dude, you need to stop. You're messing things up. Like he suddenly became part of the spell casting. Mm-hmm. It also kind of made me wonder, and my wife even brought this up last night. She's like, this seems to be a different Doctor Strange. Like, the Doctor Strange that we saw, once he actually got established as, like, Doctor Strange,
mm-hmm.
like, seriously kicked ass. You know, he became the Sorcerer Supreme. He was competent. He was capable. He was all this stuff. This, you know, Snow in the Sanctum kind of makes you scratch your head, and you're like, I'm kind of thinking, like, did a spell screw up? Is he starting to lose touch with magic, or is his connection kind of crazy because the multiverse has kind of cracked open? What exactly is going on with that? And that's not an uncommon thing that they have for them to have done in the comics. They've had to screw up with Strange's magic ability a couple times, basically as a, you know, as a plot point. Is that what we're seeing here?
And it's interesting that you bring that up, and his whole interaction with Peter when Wong is there also came off to me as different. Strange is not jovial.
What, dude, even look at what he's wearing.
Yeah.
He's wearing the Cloak of Levitation over a sweatshirt.
Yeah.
And maybe that's what he does at home. Maybe he put the sweatshirt on because it was cold in there, because it was snowing. I don't know, but the dude, like, was super cash. And
it was very unlike him.
Yeah, it totally is. It really, really is. So, I mean, the thing is that Doctor Strange is still, there's still an ego.
Oh,
that drives him. And so he's always going to want to look good. He's going to want to appear competent. He's always going to want, you know, that kind of thing. And so, like, his appearance, I mean, he was neatly shaved. His hair was done. I mean, he you know, invested that time like you would, John. But, obviously. You know, but just a sweatshirt. I don't know.
Yeah. So we see the after effect is that Peter has messed with the multiverse, and we see very Inception-like shots of him swinging and kind of falling in between buildings that keep going, and they're on a train, and then multiple cars on the train kind of wrap around them.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it was very Inception-like.
And also some of the same effects that we saw in the first Doctor Strange movie as well.
True.
Where, like, things that were vertical ended up being horizontal, and things got twisted upside down, and they kept moving. And oh, yeah. Which I love those effects. I thought that was outstanding in Doctor Strange. One of the few movies I saw in 3D, and that was totally worth it, because that was mind blowing. Like, you're just sitting there in your seat, like, what the F is going on? It was bonkers. Loved it.
Which,
and I really don't like 3D.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't like 3D either. So, interesting, from there, it kind of goes around, and we see some of those effects. And we see Peter in his Far From Home redesigned suit. We see him in the black suit. We see him in the Iron Spider suit. So, Tim, you kind of have in there, are these different variants of Tom Holland? Is this all the same Peter?
Yeah.
But yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the thing that we don't know. Are we only going to be dealing with, and I just call them Peter Prime, you know, kind of the sacred timeline Peter, the one that we're familiar with, the Tom Holland Peter. Is this going to be the only Peter / Spider-Man that we're going to see? We obviously saw a different suit. Did he get a different suit?
So the
we also still saw him in like the Iron Spider suit, like going into like kill mode and that kind of stuff, which is freaking awesome. Because like at this point in this teaser, it was rapid fire. We're just getting just scene after scene, very, very rapid flashes of things. We also don't know who some of these characters are interacting with. So we got the shot with Dr. Octopus.
Mm-hmm.
And we do get a kind of an extended moment there with him because he says, "Hello, Peter."
Which was fantastic.
It was. But he wouldn't know that. I mean, he knows what Peter looks like, and the Tom Holland's Peter is not his Peter. So do we have the Tobey Maguire Peter that he's saying hello to? I don't know. Things are weird. Things are weird.
We also saw, you know, as they're kind of going through this, you know, kind of Strange's voice overlay is with the problems that were caused is the more that Peter tries to be two different people, you know, kind of the worse this makes things. So I think we will see some level of Peter reckoning with how is he, and I mean, when we got to see it in Iron Man, we've seen it in lots of different characters. How can he be Peter Parker and Spider-Man? How can Tony Stark be the man without the suit? So we've certainly seen that theme before.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't caught or even thought about Doc Ock not necessarily talking to Tom Holland's Peter and the aspect to it. But, you know, we'll see. We see Happy Hogan in danger. Yep.
I'm glad Hap is in this.
Yeah.
You know, Hot Aunt May is in it.
Mm-hmm.
We've got everybody. Ned is in it. Everyone's there.
Yeah. We got a shot of Electro. And we also got a pumpkin bomb.
Mm-hmm.
And some laughing in the background. We did not get a Green Goblin, but there's no mistaking what that device is or was. And I mean, it's straight out of Sam Raimi's Spider-Man 2.
And the laughing sure sounded an awful lot like Willem Dafoe.
It certainly did. So packed full of, you know, giving us the story, kind of starting to set up what we didn't see in this is any of this other Spider-Man.
Probably.
And I'm actually,
we had the black and gold, but we don't know who that was or what that was.
I don't think he was wearing the mask when that happened, running through the school. I've got it up.
Yeah, that's a good question.
I don't think he was going through the school in that one, and he didn't have. And I think that is going to be what you're calling Peter Prime, because that suit is supposed to be imbued with Doctor Strange's magic to help counter the multiverse.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
That's at least from the toy line.
Right,
that's
right.
That's what it is. So yeah, I think
we saw a Spider-Man suit that was the very classic red and blue, and the spider that was on the chest was outlined in white. And then we also saw the Iron Spider suit with the one with the gold on it. So, I mean, there's a few things, but we're not talking
all the ones, and I've got it up and it's kind of going through. And I mean, the one with the white Tim in the back that you just had, you then see Strange do what the Ancient One did to Hulk and push.
Yes. Yeah. His astral form out. Yeah.
His astral form out. And it's Tom Holland. So I do think all the ones we saw are Tom Holland.
Okay.
I think we're not going to see the other two probably until the movie itself. if I were them, I wouldn't push that out yet.
Yeah, I mean, those are really big reveals.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of like revealing, you know, Darth Maul for the Star Wars Episode One trailer, which they did, which is like crazy. Why would you reveal Darth Maul? Like, that is the guy.
Well, and I think, and here's, and in that similarity, foolish. We know they're in it. We knew Doc Ock was going to be in it. And I thought that was an appropriate big moment. But again, if Defoe's in it, don't ever show him until you get to the movie. The pumpkin bomb was enough. It was enough for people to go, oh shit, is he in it? Is this?
And I'll tell you, I'm hoping at some point in the future, and this is probably going to be part of the, excuse me a moment, Sony's Spider-Man universe. In case you've missed the rebranding of the Sumac, do check out episode 178. I was actually always more of a fan of Hobgoblin than Green Goblin. I know that Green Goblin is the OG. He's, you know, the classic version of this. But Hobgoblin is like massively screwed up. And I really like Hobgoblin a lot better. I hope sometime in the future, Sony is going to give us Hobgoblin. Please, Sony.
I'm sure we will.
I love Hobgoblin.
So the two questions I've got kind of coming out of this is, one, if they do bring back Green Goblin, for the love of God, let's not give him a Power Rangers mask again.
Yeah.
We've got better technology, folks. We can make that change. It'll be okay. The other one is, what is going to be the result of Peter helping Strange put this spell back in the jar? Because that's some level of either undoing all of its effect, getting it back to its original intent. Something has to happen to clean up the spell. Do we get MJ forgetting Peter and no more MJ? Do we get the introduction of Gwen Stacy?
Maybe.
I mean, because Gwen Stacy was Peter's first true love. And we haven't gotten a Gwen yet.
Yeah, I mean, are we going to get the Gwen Stacy that we got in the previous movies? Probably not, because that's Bryce Dallas Howard. That's Bryce Dallas Howard. And I mean, she's gotten a lot bigger of a star since then. I mean, she's done the Jurassic World movies. She's directing. She, you know, was directing episodes of The Mandalorian, that kind of stuff. So, I mean, not to say that this isn't big enough for her, because it's Marvel, and it certainly is. Maybe she agrees to come back. Maybe they want to cast it younger because it has been a while. And there's nothing saying that they have to stick with, you know, with these actors. So I don't know.
Well, you could get Bryce Dallas Howard. You could get, I mean, Emma Stone played it in The Amazing Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. The Amazing Spider-Man movies I kind of put out of my head. I understand.
I actually didn't mind them. I think they bring in more a contemporary to Peter's age.
Yeah.
I'd just be curious to do it. I'm not saying I want them. I love this take on MJ.
Yeah, me too. I'd like to see this go someplace. Like, it's one of those relationships that we're kind of invested in, and like, they work well together. It's not like these failed relationships from the previous movies that Peter had. Like, this one, like, seems to work. Like, they get along, they have stuff in common, they're complementary. And that's actually what I would like to see. I'd like to see, like, hey, there's stuff in his life that's falling apart, and there's stuff in it that's really good, and those things can all coexist. So, like, from a longevity perspective, I'd love to keep her around.
I don't disagree. And in One More Day, it was actually MJ who sealed the deal with Mephisto.
Mm.
Realizing how important it was. We see in this one a full circle again where MJ realizes what Peter's holding on to, for, as Strange put it, to being the two people, is her, and she fulfills the final component to cause herself to forget Peter as Spider-Man? And then do we see the introduction of Gwen Stacy as the love triangle,
mm-hmm.
you know, kind of approach? I don't know. She's just, Gwen Stacy is such a major part of Peter Parker and has been in the other movies. Who knows? She just seems to me a missing piece with so many other characters coming into this.
The funny thing is, though, is that I think more people are familiar with Mary Jane.
Oh, of course. Of course.
I think Mary Jane has been more prolific. Mm-hmm. She was the cartoon Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends.
Oh, 100%.
She was in that, yeah. You know, not Gwen Stacy. So there's, I think she just kind of had more exposure in this world of Spider-Man kind of broadly, all the things that we've seen. I mean, it's not going to hurt my feelings if we don't get Gwen Stacy personally.
It won't either. She seems to be a gap.
Mm-hmm.
And so if they can find a way to bring her in, I think it would be cool. I think it would be fitting, but I don't think she is necessary. If that makes sense.
Yeah. So there's a couple things I want to mention here. First of all, you've mentioned the One More Day story, which has a lot of similarities to this, and Mephisto. It's almost kind of laughable because if everyone remembers during WandaVision, Mephisto was the big thing. Everyone was convinced. We were convinced. Mephisto is behind it. It's got to be him.
Yeah.
And Mephisto wasn't anywhere near this. You know, we even had that one image of a devil in the Loki series.
Loki,
that,
yep.
Yeah. So like in the trailers for that, everyone's like, image of the devil. Mephisto's got to be in it. And the director's like, I didn't even know there was a character called Mephisto until like people started talking about it. I don't know. I'm not even going to talk about, like, I don't think he's necessarily going to have anything to do with this storyline. That said, I do want to see Mephisto eventually come into the MCU because he would be a very, yep. very strong antagonist for this mystical group that they're hopefully putting together with Doctor Strange, Ghost Rider, Blade, et cetera, et cetera. The other thing I want to bring up, I don't know what to think of this. David brought this up in Discord today, and I had seen it kicking around on Twitter earlier this morning, and I was very dismissive of it. But when he brought it into Discord, it did make me think about it. I'm still kind of inclined to be dismissive of it. If we remember back to WandaVision, I think it was the first episode, the calendar that was up in the kitchen, mm-hmm. there was a date with a heart on it.
Mm-hmm.
John, do you remember what that date was?
I don't, but I remember it had significance.
The date was August 23rd. Which was yesterday, the day that this trailer was released. Weird coincidence? Something intentional? I can't imagine that it was intentional because they wouldn't have known, and especially with so much unknown with COVID, when anything was going to release then. It seems strange coincidence to me.
Because didn't this trailer leak a few days ago?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, so maybe they sped it up because it was already out there.
Which is what I think they did.
Yeah. I buy weird coincidence. Well, yeah. I mean, Yeah, because Feige was trending on Twitter.
Yeah.
And not for the reasons he wanted.
True, true. So that's just one of those cool things that I wanted to put out there. It seems that there are way too many variables and way too many years that have spanned between when they were doing that first episode of WandaVision to when they were writing this and filming it and actually on a schedule to say, well, obviously August 23rd is when we're going to release a teaser.
Yeah.
And there's just no like clear connection or no clear reason for it.
Yeah. That falls into the whole weird WandaVision Loki mashup.
Yeah.
On the time. So I'm like weird, cool, but weird. Quinky dink. Yes, folks. I said quinky dink.
Are we going to see any, I mean, there's a lot of talk about Sinister Six, which of course has been talk about the Sinister Six for decades. But bringing Electro into this, Green Goblin, Doc Ock, people are thinking maybe Sandman's going to come back. We've got Venom. So they could very well come up with some version of the Sinister Six, which I think would be very cool. I don't think we're necessarily going to see that in this movie. Is anyone externally going to show up? Like, do you think Wanda is going to show up in this? Do you think Loki or someone with the TVA, probably not Loki, but maybe like Mobius or someone, do we think someone from the TVA is going to show up to say, wow, you guys have seriously screwed the monkey. What did you do?
I think if the TVA is in there, it's an Easter egg. You see them in like the background somewhere. I don't think Loki takes too much away from where that kind of ended. And he doesn't have any connection really to Strange or Peter for him to make an appearance. Maybe Wanda, but at the same time, we already have a lot of people, folks. Like that was in the last episode, I made the joke of Riri Williams, like not debuting in this one. Cause we already have enough people.
Yeah.
I don't think they need any more. I think introducing a villain or a new character, like that goes kind of go back to like the Gwen Stacy, or even if it's, you know, they meet Captain Stacy from NYPD, her dad. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yep.
Something along those lines, whether it's
played by the incredible Dennis Leary, one of my favorite comedians.
You know, so whether it's an Easter egg like that, or, you know, a new villain for him, I would take, you know, a post credits, you know, where you've got Michael Keaton and I'm drawing a blank on the actor for Doc Ock.
Alfred Molina.
Yeah. You know, getting together to talk about the Sinister Six. Something like that, I think, is good. I don't think we need more. I mean, I personally loved in the original Spider-Man movie where they're like down in like the, you know, future villains cage, and you see like them laying out like all the suits for the Sinister Six. I thought that was pretty awesome. I know others didn't really like it, saying like those movies, but I thought that was pretty cool. So I'd be fine with you know, any of those. I don't think we need like any more cameos, you know, within it. I think we've got enough.
Yeah. And we know, obviously, we're going to have Wanda in Doctor Strange 2, Multiverse of Madness. Was it? I think we even reported on it. Wasn't Loki confirmed for Doctor Strange 2? I think.
I don't remember. I know it was rumored. I don't know if we ever got it confirmed.
Yeah. I think he was actually confirmed with that. So some listener is going to remember this saying, yes, you guys actually reported that as news. Like that's going to happen. So yeah, we know that we're going to see basically the consequences of this spill over into Multiverse of Madness. And so then we're going to see kind of, you know, here this is like Peter's universe collapsing in on him. And of course, Strange is going to help him repair it. But the Doctor Strange movie is going to center on Doctor Strange dealing with the big picture of the multiverse with Wanda and, you know, whoever else.
So, folks, lots more teasers and trailers to come for this. And then obviously we'll see how they tie into other movies as well. As we get more, I'm sure, give it a week, we're going to get even more little tidbits out of this one as well. But with that, we will leave it here. Tim?
Yeah. So there it is, folks. Thanks for joining us for this other episode. We put these out together because the trailer is obviously a big thing and we couldn't fit that discussion into our regular news episode. So, yeah. So these are our two episodes for the week. Thank you for joining us, for listening in. We certainly want to hear your thoughts and commentary on this teaser trailer. You can hit us up at the Escape Hatch Discord channel. You can find us on Twitter, et cetera, et cetera. You can email us, you know, tim@randomchatter.com, John, J-O-N @randomchatter.com, Lizzie and Sheba, same thing. So, you know, hit us up in whatever way, or guardians@randomchatter.com. That goes to all of us. Let us know what your thoughts are. So that's it. Thanks very much for joining us. Catch you next week.